That's a that Momo's some bullshit. Like I saw somebody post about it like right on Facebook, and I'm like, all right, let me do the usual thing and do a little bit of research
Right, yeah, right. Just
before you know,
was it a ton of
and
people?
it's a hoax and shit. Like it's supposed to be based off like a thing that was happening like on kids' YouTube videos where certain little things were spliced into like the middle of the video the kids would watch that shouldn't be appropriate like for kids. This Momo shit is like about like this character, the picture that you've seen, like trying to tell the kids to kill themselves or whatever. But it's a
Stick,
hoax. Like it's not
yeah.
really
Stick
happening.
forks and lights and light sockets and
Yeah.
to cut slit your wrist and fucking where to slit your wrist and if you don't do it, I'm gonna come get you type shit. Like whatever.
Yeah, shit like that. But it's a hoax. Like, but now that it's blown up, like now there's just all types of memes.
How is it a hoax? I don't understand how it's a hoax.
Like what it was saying was happening wasn't really happening. Like that the video, like supposedly that character was being spliced into kids like YouTube videos telling them to encouraging them to hurt themselves or commit suicide. That's bullshit. That wasn't happening. But it's based off something similar that was happening where certain inappropriate things were being spliced into kids' YouTube videos. But what that meme was alleging, Momo, that character showing up in kids' video, like that wasn't happening.
Yeah, and the character itself wasn't like made by somebody. It was actually a piece of artwork that
Correct.
ultimately had
Yeah.
to get destroyed because of all this controversy and hoax stuff going on. So,
I know what that thing's telling those kids to do. It's like, click on this button to send money to me. That's what it's fucking doing. You don't need to talk to your parents. They hate you. Go into your mom's purse.
The idea of it is kind of creepy though. Like, you know, when you think really think about it, it's fucking creepy as fuck.
And the thing, the artwork that you said it is or was or based off of that shit is ugly as fuck too. It reminds me of the chick from Beetlejuice when she fucked up her
Exactly, yeah.
face.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it's like chicken feet, like some shit
Yeah.
too. Like it's
I was gonna
crazy.
say it's supposed to be based on some type of not mythology maybe, but I don't know. The character design is based on some type of storyline culturally, but yeah, it'll be forgotten about in, 2 weeks.
All right, down the
Once
line, who would let Momo blow them?
I get the
Exactly.
That's nasty. Gotta have standards, Dave. You gotta have standards, bro.
All right, I'll ask you after you have a few drinks next
I was
time.
just
I'll
gonna say it's gonna be about how many drinks can I have first?
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 61 of Breaking the Mold. I'm Harry BX. Let's say what's up to the crew, Energon Addict. What's up,
Yo,
man?
what's up, yo?
You sound like yourself. In the pre-show, you're not sounding
I
like
know. Apparently, I sounded more like this. Like Energon Addict. What's up? But now.
I was like, is he sick? That's why I asked him. I was like, are you feeling well? You're not feeling well.
And I'm like, I'm coming off of a cold. What do I sound like? And Brian's laughing. He's like, yeah, you don't sound like yourself right now.
No, you sounded like that fake voice you used to trick Dom about Mythic Legions.
Oh. This white man voice.
The super white guy.
Hi, Dom. Hello.
It
My
is
name's Dave. How are you? You're right.
It is this white man voice.
I sound like Gary.
I don't know.
Let's go to the country club.
I guess you guys know I had a pretty decent weekend. I met up with Dust on Saturday. We went to dinner. Then we went to IKEA, which was cool. It's just funny because,
Did
like,
you hold hands?
no, but he was doing the whole couple thing while we were at dinner.
Oh.
And he was like talking like that, and he was like, "Yeah, honey, like, what are you gonna order?" And like, I was like, "Oh, come on, stop!" Because like, there was this guy that kept turning around. And I was like, "We just don't look like a good couple either. Like, it's just weird, you know." And like, I know if they probably looked at us, they're like probably thinking, "Oh, I wonder who's the bottom." You know, like, which one is it?
Oh, God.
But it's funny. We went to IKEA. Yeah, and we had a few beers at dinner. So, it's funny going to IKEA when you're a little fucked up, you know? So we did the whole walkthrough. Dust was cool walking through the whole store. I had to pick up a few items. We waited on that long line, and made it out. And then I dropped him back off where he was staying. He was apparently in for his sister's daughter's first birthday or something like that.
Oh, nice. But, yes.
Good time.
I saw he checked in over the Dragsneck Bridge. I'm like, oh, he's close. He texted me like, where you at? And like, he showed me like a picture of like where the bridge. I'm like, yeah, you're like 5 minutes away from me. That's cool. How's the rest of the week been? Everything been all right?
Yeah. I mean, I was excited actually to go to IKEA because I needed some stuff to finish the stuff in the room. So I got all the doors. So I got all my doors that I needed. I did the lighting under the Vestas as well.
Yeah, I could see it all lit up.
Yeah, I could start putting more stuff in there. You just see some stuff thrown in there at the moment, but now I could start putting figures in there, seeing how I'm going to display it. So excited about that.
It's looking good. What's that white thing behind you over there, like over your left shoulder? Like, is that also a display?
So the space that's in the middle, eventually a TV will be there in the between the two pillars. So, man, I have that lit too, but since I don't really have much in there, you know, I have it off at the moment. Oh, shit.
Oops.
Yeah.
Nice. It's good to see the progress, man. Good to see the progress. Looking good.
Yep.
All right. The analyzer, Brian Brank. What's up?
Yo, dude? What's going on? I wanted to talk about something in my opening, and I forgot what it was. So I will just say this. There is no spoon.
Yeah.
It bends because I watched The Matrix this weekend. All three. I was inspired by Chris's latest pickup in his 1/6 collection, that Neo. And I have to say, you know, when that thing came out, I was hardcore computer guy, and I just thought the world of that movie. I thought it was really awesome. And it's fine. I forgot how long they are, at least the middle one and the last one.
Yeah.
But it's nice now that you can fast forward, but I remember being in the theater and being like, enough with the dancing. Can we get back to the Matrix, please? Stupid dancing. Yeah. It's good. It's a good story.
You didn't like the TNA during the part? There was the sex scene going on too.
Yeah. It's just I
like that.
What do you call it? Gratuitous. It was just too much. I have to say though, Lawrence Fishburne is fucking badass.
Yeah.
In those films, man.
Yeah, I love those films, and you could see the difference between the first and then the second and third, you know, because they made those back to back, and you could just see how much more money they had for it, and how like you said, they expanded it like so much instead of keeping it kind of like to the core basics like they did in the first one.
Yeah, and looking at the mechanisms, the computer whatever things that took over the Earth. I could see that these are all linked to the Bay films. I don't understand what it is with robots needing to look like bugs and shit like that, but I guess it's a thing. But obviously that's where Michael got his inspiration from.
Maybe, possibly. You're right. Might be right. All right. Big Dom, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Enjoyed my weekend. It was. I ended up going to the Wayne Toy Show on Sunday morning.
You know, Dom, I almost drove up for that.
Yeah, it was good. The NECA was there. They had a bunch of shit. People, if you weren't there at like 8 o'clock when they put it all out, they pretty much sold out. They had like a life-size Gremlin replica that was selling. Like, I guess they had like six of them, and a bunch of the dealers bought them up. So,
really, life-size, like a life-size
strike? Yeah, like a life-size replica of a Gremlin.
That's scary, man.
I don't know. Yeah. I never knew they made one of those, but they had. I guess he had like a couple boxes of them.
It's a Wai Zhang model of the
Gremlin. Did they have any giant turtles?
No, they didn't have giant turtles. How about the cartoons? They didn't have the movie turtles. They didn't have the cartoon turtles. They just had a bunch of old stuff, a lot of Predator stuff. They had like a couple Predator stuff, and then all the Christmas vacation and you know all that other stuff that they have that nobody buys. But the toy show was good. Like saw a couple Gomez's that some people had some Gomez's and they were asking for ridiculous amounts of money for
how much are they asking for the lanyard?
$300. So I was like, I think the lowest one that the person was asking $250 for it, and I was like, yeah, I'll pass.
That's crazy. You're still look. Were you not able to?
No, I got a pre-order. I just wanted to see if I can grab it earlier than wait until September next year.
Oh, that's when they're releasing.
No, it's gonna be this September. But you know, knowing Mezco, it's gonna drop everything in December like they always do.
Oh. Do they still have those people in the back making breakfast sandwiches?
Oh, yeah. They got the people in the back bar making some breakfast sandwiches, like cookies, and they got like crumb cakes. So it's lovely when you're on a diet and you're walking around that room and you smell some, you know, all that goodness that you can't have.
Yeah, you're not indulging in that stuff right now. So
a lot of pops. There's a lot of pop sellers there.
Is it all day? When's it close?
I think it closes around 4, I think. Oh, wow. I can't remember. I'm usually out of there. I get in there like around 9. I try to make it because I think early admission is like $10 and then like 9 o'clock it's $5.
Is that toy show like something that's reoccurring, like monthly?
Yeah, it's the first Sunday of every month.
Okay.
But like usually like February, March is a good time to go because they're like, you know, it was packed. Like there was a lot of people there this time.
So. What were you going like with a purpose, expecting to find?
No, something, like you know, you find anything, like or? It's like there's times I go there, I find nothing. There's times I go there, I find like pick up amazing things. So like you know, there's sometimes there's like you know, there's regulars there a lot. Like there's the same vendors there constantly. So it's there might have maybe one or two tables that open up that you know you get those you know guys that just want to liquidate their collection and get rid of it and get rid of some stuff. So that's always a good thing to see, and you can pick up some good deals. There's stuff that you might missed out on or stuff like that.
Okay.
But like yeah, they have like a lot of old, like sometimes they have some vendors there that had a lot of old stuff like Dungeons and Dragons. I saw like a whole Dungeons and Dragons set with the horses and a couple of the figures still sealed in card back, and a guy sold it for like $250. Like I think there was two card back figures and two horses, and he sold it for like $250.
Damn.
which was a good deal because I think one was Duke and then another I think one of the good guys, I can't remember which one it was, and then two horses.
I thought, because I figured if it's in the same place, it's monthly, like you're gonna always get the same type of vendors there.
Yeah,
so you're always gonna see the same type of stuff. Yeah. So that's why I was like, do you really see anything new? Like, you know,
I feel
are there retailers there like that you know that reset their stock, like where you could, you know, definitely find some new stuff?
Like there's a couple retailers that's like mostly the pops guys, like they'll have new stuff, new pops and stuff like that, and you know, I see that, like, and there's young kids that go there looking for that stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, that, you know, pops always sell, but the thing is that, you know, there's some old, like old timers that go there religiously, and they have like a lot of like old comics and periodicals and, you know, TV guides and stuff like that. And records, some old records, and I see this guy there all the time, and it's like unfortunate. He's like always at the same table. Everybody just passes his table. Like you get maybe one or two people looking at what he's got, but it's like a sore thumb out in the middle of nowhere when you have all these toys, and then all of a sudden you got a guy in there like just selling, you know, comic books and just old like articles on things and magazines and stuff like that.
No,
so I've seen just the people that shows before.
Yeah, like it's cool and all. It's nice to look like when you got some downtime. But like, you know, I'm not, you know.
You know, you're I not feel trying bad. To spend any money yeah, on feel, that stuff.
I know? Think he gets like, you know, I know I'm sure he gets some time at discount just because he's been there all the time. He's there all the time. And it's like, you know, and I'm sure he's get some type of discount on the table, and he brings his stuff. And he's an older guy. He's, you know, probably in his 50s, 60s years old.
It's probably losing every time he gets a table, but he's just there, you know, pass the time.
Yeah. And there's a couple guys that have like the old vintage stuff, like those little knickknacks and paddywhacks and, you know, some stuff that like, you know, you remember as a kid having that you tooled around with because your parents didn't want to spend more than $5 at a toy store, you know, and just, you know, they had that stuff.
Yeah.
So It was pretty cool. I enjoyed myself. I didn't pick up much. You know, I got a couple things.
I didn't pick much up.
February, I picked up a couple things, but like, you know, it's nice. Like, you know, like I'm always going in there trying to find like I never was able to get like a Combiner Wars Skylynx. Like I never got it. So.
Oh, so you found it?
I never found it. Like I'll go to that show and like hopefully one time I'll see it and I'll hopefully grab it. But you know, those are the types of shows that you find things like that and pick it up and grab it.
Nice.
And not pay like, you know, $80 or $60 for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. All right. G Money. What's up, dude? Are you there? Could barely see you.
I'm here. Oh no, I'm here.
Hey, there you go. I'm here.
He's the man in the darkness.
He's got the mood.
I don't have anything that exciting to talk about other than I've been late, 20 years late to the party. And I don't know if, did you guys ever like discover, because it doesn't happen when you're late, but pick up like on a TV series or a show long after it kind of ran its course and you're like, why the fuck didn't I watch this?
You started watching it on 2&0, didn't you?
However, I remember Dust made this comment once. I started watching The Sopranos. I'd never watched it before.
Really?
So yeah, just for whatever reason, when it was like around, you know, various points in life and and moving, I either didn't have HBO or whatever. I just never got into watching it. And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I'm like, I'm two seasons in, like, quickly. And I do find myself wanting to talk at work like Tony Soprano. I got to separate life and make believe a little bit here so I don't get myself fired. That would suck.
Why?
Just do it.
Can I come live with you and Chan, JD? Sure. With the
I can't pay the place here. So.
Hey, Gary, are you binge watching it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to warn you. I think that's a show you need to have in some sort of moderation, because when you binge watch that show, you really do get a little downtrodden on society and
maybe
it. Dude, it happens, man. It affects you. Be careful.
I don't need a show to do that for me.
Yeah. No, you might be right, Brian. Because I came home. I don't know. It's just
fucks with you, man.
I'll keep that in mind. That in mind, you know, just in case, because it's, yeah, that's it. Just waiting for, you know, winter to somehow start to subside a little bit here and feel like you can get outside a little bit and do some other stuff. So,
yeah, I hear that. I've never watched Soprano. I've seen like a lot of it, but I've never watched it beginning to end. I've never seen it straight through. So I think it is available. I think on Amazon or something like for free all these seasons.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. That's where I'm watching it.
Yeah, yeah, I think I'll try to blow through them too. Now Brian got me intrigued. Mm-hmm. If you binge it, might feel a certain type of way. I want to
be careful.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, yeah. JD, what's up, dude?
Not much. How are we all doing?
I'm good.
Good, JD.
Good. Good. Lots of goods. Goods all over.
Goods. Good. It's not greats, but goods. We're here. Yeah,
we're here. You know, we got a whole lot of snow and cold as fuck.
Yeah.
You caught snow?
Yeah.
They were saying we were supposed to get like 5 to 8 inches in the city. Dave, did you catch it back? Did you catch anything?
I got about 3 or 4, I think.
It wasn't bad here. Like, it's some of it like stuck, but by the morning, like, when you know, it wasn't like they closed the schools down and stuff, and it was like they didn't even have to.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, you know? So, JD, you caught it worse?
We got about like 5 to 8.
So that's what we should have got.
Yeah.
To our snow.
It was kind of crazy because, like, I, you know, living in this area for most of my life, I've never heard of a commercial vehicle ban.
Mm. Yeah. They stopped doing that now because the trucks are going to, you know, get stuck on some roads. And then also.
Well, they did it on the major highways.
Yeah. They do it on the turnpike here in the parkway.
Yeah.
The parkway, you can't.
But, dude, there were tractor trailers.
Everywhere.
What, like the state troopers, like, I don't know how they could have even keep up with that.
Yeah.
Because they were everywhere.
What do you mean? Like, they wouldn't let them on the highway, so they just camped out at, like, in your town?
No, there was nothing stopping anyone from junction to junction or any of the exits.
They disregarded it.
Oh, zero fucks given? They had a zero commercial.
I mean, we saw, like, one state trooper, and he had somebody pulled over. They were enforcing it. Because every sign, they have the LED signs or whatever.
Yeah.
Every single one of those, you know, whatever, every 5 miles.
So, like, they
said, commercial vehicles, it's a commercial ban on, you know, 283, 83, 81.
Blah, yeah, blah, so blah, they, blah. They did the, they can't get us all type of mentality. So we're going to all drive. They'll get one of us, but, you know.
I mean, what can you do? Like, you know, you're on the turnpike. You get off the turnpike because that's the direction you're heading. You're coming from, like, Louisiana or some shit trying to get to New York. You know what I mean? And you got to hit some junction along the way here. Like, what do you do in that situation? You can't stop.
I think that's what they were looking them to do. Those truckers stopping cost them money. So
Dust says in Jersey they pull them over, $1,000 fine and 5 points. Damn, that's fucking crazy. Shit.
I didn't know that was that bad. That's 5 points and $1,000 fine. Wow.
And why do they do this again?
It was a ban. It was a ban that they enforced when, like, you know, that first storm, you know,
just for weather. Right.
Yeah. Like, when it was bad weather, that first storm that we got, because they didn't fucking put anything down on the roads to treat the roads. A lot of those trailers got stuck and caused a lot of traffic and they caused a lot of problems. And
if anything, they should ban the just regular people.
Yeah.
The general public, you know. Yeah, I mean, a rig has at least weight on its side.
Exactly, but, like, yeah, you're right, JD. Like, you know, there's no reason for us to be out there, but there is a reason for them to be out there.
JD, how's your truck do in the snow with the lift on it?
That's pretty awesome, actually.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know my Jeep doesn't. The lift is fine and helpful, but the giant tires act more like skis in the snow. To tell you the truth, it's not. Well, I always tell people that's why when you see, like, plow vehicles and stuff, they don't have big monster tires on it because it's all physics, you know. So the smaller tire and wheel actually works better in the deeper snow.
Fuck the snow.
It gives me a chance to play.
Yeah,
a little bit too.
that's what I was about to say. Is that what you did? Just kind of chilled indoors and
pretty much. Build a snowman? Did you go build a snowman, JD?
No. Unless we had to, like, go somewhere, because we had to leave to go get, we had to go out and grab a couple things on Sunday, and then, my cousin was here from Florida. He was here up until it started snowing really bad, and then after they left, we had to run and grab a couple things, but we had to run out to where she used to live, which is, you know, almost half an hour away. So, but it was fun. You know what I mean? By the time we came back, everything was crawling. All the traffic was crawling. And
did you find a parking lot and do some donuts? I used to love doing that when I had
I just did them on the road.
Yeah, it works too.
Have you ever, like, ghost ride a shopping cart in an empty parking lot?
Sure.
Like, you pull up to a shopping cart with your car, start driving slower, faster, and then stop and let the shopping cart just go flying. Do you ever do that?
What?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because we're grown-ups.
Say that again.
I heard it was a thing. You know, I never did it, but
wait,
I heard.
It sounds like a good way to scratch your car up. What are you talking about?
Exactly. No. So you're in an empty parking lot with shopping carts, and there's a random shopping cart, a loner shopping cart, just out in the middle of nowhere. You pull your car to it, the front of the car, get to the back of it, and then just get real slow. So you start moving the shopping cart, and then you get faster and faster and letting it speed up. And then you stop and let the shopping cart just go. And then it eventually hits like a curb or something. And it just flips like up in the air like shit.
You guys didn't have movie theaters in Jersey where you grew up?
Yeah, I had movie theaters.
just saying, like, you know.
Yeah, we have movie theaters. We also have, like, you know, electricity.
Okay.
Dave, you confuse me. So I was like, oh, who brings a what's movie theaters have shopping carts? I don't understand.
No, I'm just saying what they did for fun out there when they were growing up. I don't know.
I've never seen this a random empty lot with just a lone shopping cart.
Oh, the shopping carts all over the place. We don't get a fucking quarter when we return.
Yeah, go to
Tom did before he was on Breaking the Mold, guys. Just so you know.
Yeah. You can go to a Walmart at 2 a.m.
Yeah, here in the city, those shopping carts are locked down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They only let the supermarket employees use them. They can bring deliveries to your house, you know? Yep.
So. I'm sorry that I ever brought it up.
Me too.
Sorry. Dave. I'll go to the movies next time, okay?
Nice to know what you were into, Dom. Nice. Yeah.
I never did it. I just heard about it.
Yeah. I have a friend who did it.
That friend is me. You know what I mean?
Oh man! So anything else, JD? Anything else eventful from the weekend?
Not really. I mean, like I said, my cousin was here from Florida visiting, so it's kind of cool to see him.
Did he enjoy your toy collection?
Yeah, that's what I was about.
Yeah, he had never been here before. He has come to visit. Like, this was like his third time in Pennsylvania. He said he hasn't had he hadn't seen snow since he was like 11. His wife had never seen snow. But yeah, like the last couple times that they visited, they tried to, you know, we tried to schedule it so they could come visit and check everything out. And they finally got to do it. It was pretty cool.
Did they take any snow home for souvenirs?
Oh, I don't know.
Stupid.
They were excited for the snow, like to get to where they were staying, because like they were gonna wake up in the morning, go and roll in it and build snowmans and all that kind of stuff before they left.
Did they make snow angels? So you have to do that.
I mean, I would imagine.
Now, when you guys say snow, you're not talking about cocaine, right? You're talking about snow, right?
Sort of makes sense. That's what you did before you pushed the shopping carts with the car. You were fucking blow. And now I get it. All right. It makes sense.
Why is everything foolish have to start with drugs, Dave? You could be a fool just being a fool. You don't have to be on drugs to do it.
He admits it.
It's because Dave does a lot of fool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he's druggy.
You need help.
Well, I had a low key weekend. There was nothing going on. I was
Hey, Jose, what did you do?
not a whole lot, but this weekend is a Big Apple Comic Con right across the street from Madison Square Garden, so I'm thinking about hitting that up.
What's that,
Jose? You know, like a Comic Con. They used to do it back in the day where it was just like comic books and they had the comic artists, but it's grown a little bit where, you know, you have vendors there with tables, art, you know, similar to what we did with ZoloCon. It's just, I just don't think they have as much as like the action figure aspect. There are figures there, but it seems to be more of a mix, with comic books and art and action figures. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being like mostly action figures, but it's still cool. There's gonna be this dude that played Luke Cage on the Netflix show, Michael Coulter. Is his name, I think. Yeah, he's gonna be there. Shatner's gonna be there.
William Shatner.
Yeah,
he's like got to be like what 90 something by now.
Yeah, $85 for a photo op if you want it. You know, so yeah, a couple of celebrities there. This dude that played the Green Power Ranger, Jason David Frank, like he's always usually there. You'll see a bunch of other guys, like other little minor celebs, comic book artists, you know, like Steranko, you know, always goes there. A couple of other guys. Yeah, but it's interesting, and you get to see lots of cosplay also. So Brian, I don't know, maybe
there's the truth.
Make the trip.
Found out the real reason you're going.
I'm going to be witnessing nuptials this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Darn. Yeah, so I'll probably do that Saturday and then Sunday.
Just Jose was going to send you pics, Brian, so don't worry. You got your cover.
Yeah, yeah. You know how it goes. I'll definitely be taking a few.
Court's interested. He wants to know when.
Oh, nice. Saturday.
There you go. Except Court's going to the wedding as well.
Yeah, how's that going to work?
He's going to split himself into...
Split.
You guys, that's right. The Lowry wedding is this weekend. So you guys got to do some type of like live stream. You know what I'm saying? We need to see what's going on. Go live in the group for a few minutes during the after party at Dave and Buster's just so we can see you guys having some fun.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's going to be a long day. They're getting married at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were talking about that. Like, how... Who gets
how up? Am I going to wake up?
that's not how everybody does it.
That's about the time I go to sleep.
I can see like noon. There's going to be a lot of drunk people by noon. You know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of people hosed. You're early in the day.
So when does the reception start?
9:45, I think.
By like 10 o'clock, people are Tyler F's gonna be passed out in the back of somebody's car. You know, <He's> like, it's gonna be a mess. It's gonna be a mess.
Oh man, that's awesome, yo! Congrats to them both. It's gonna be cool to see the pics and hear the stories and stuff like that. And shit, man, since all those festivities are gonna be getting down early, I don't know. Maybe you know, if I'm in the city, I'll knock a few back early with you.
All right,
you know? Keeping the spirit of it all, you know. All right, so Dave brought up a topic. Where's this thing?
I did.
So he brought up. Yes, he did.
Fucking finally.
It.
Fucking pull your weight, dude. He's always stands back and smiles. That's all he does. And shop. Look at him. He's fucking shopping right now.
Yeah, you see that, Dave? You see fucking Dom couldn't wait to fucking throw some punches right there.
Yeah, Mythic right. Legion. Where's the Mythic Legions? Where's the Mythic Legions?
Is that what you're shopping for?
No, I'm actually, I'm in another group where the person said they were going to post that SOC Voltron.
Voltron?
The Solo Chogokin reissue Voltron up for pre-order between the hours of 3 and 5 o'clock Pacific time. And it's past that time now, so I'm like, what the fuck happened? But
are you trying to get another pre-order in?
Listen, dude, what do you mean another? Dude, we don't talk about what we talk about the pre-show during the show. No, I actually am. If I could get a second pre-order, I would probably try to help somebody out.
Yeah, of course.
Because I know a bunch of people haven't got it yet. But if I can get in there, why not? You know?
No, I know. Yeah, I know a couple of heads. Well, actually, you know, speaking of pre-orders, we were going to speak about that. There was a time like, remember back in the day, dude, you know, when we were all fresh into the third party, it almost seemed like you had to do that, like everything right. Fucking sold out and shit, you know? And then we got to a certain time where it was like you didn't have to sweat the pre-order. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you didn't pre-order, you know, you could just pick it up at release, and even months after, these things would still be available. But now I'm noticing certain pieces like the Voltron you just mentioned, that thing just went up for pre-order and almost sold out immediately.
Yep.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what, you know, we all got that experience. We've all done it. We probably still do it to a certain extent. The when and why you would want to pre-order. And I mean, a piece like that, a no-brainer, you know, something that you know is going to be hot, something that's anticipated, something that sold out previously and was going for a crazy price, like on at the market. Like, that's a no-brainer to me, no? Yeah. As to why you would want to get a pre-order in.
Exactly.
Yeah, to me, it's if it's a must have, and I know, I mean, fucking looking around here, I mean, are they all must have? But no, seriously, if it's a must have, dude, go fucking pre-order it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I When I pre-order, I treat it as a list. Like if I want it, I'll pre-order it and then just keep it as a list of, and then like I'll tend back to that list and say, you know, what pre-orders do I want to drop? What pre-orders I want to keep still? Because it's, you know, for me, it's a list that I keep. Whether I go through the transaction and pay for it, that's another thing. But like I use it as a running list of what things I'm interested in, and then eventually that list, you know, sometimes changes when I review it again, and it's just, you know, I'm not interested in this anymore. I'll drop it off the pre-order list.
See, I mean, you're able to do that sometimes, you know, yeah. And drop a pre-order depending on where you order from, but correct. Sometimes you're not.
Yeah. So I pre-order from BBTS. Like I'll pre-order from BBTS. BBTS pre-order is pretty freaking flawless because you can pre-order for BBTS and keep it there. And then if the pre-order does drop and it comes in stock, you basically have 10 days prior to the to it coming in stock to drop it or cancel it without penalty, or store credit, which is they basically you can cancel it and get your refund back to your credit card that you paid with. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you have to do that within what?
10 days.
10 days.
10 days. Yeah.
See, you know that scares me, right? Especially like not to like dwell on Mythic Legions or anything, but we all know that like a lot of that stuff sold out, and BBTS has a lot of it on pre-order. So I went and pre-ordered a few figures that, you know, I may or may not get when they when they actually drop and they do like a in stock sale at Four Horsemen. Mm-hmm. So what I'm nervous is let's say that, you know, you probably have a whole squad of people paying attention to this stuff, because I'm sure they're very on top of social media, BBTS. And they'll know when that order goes through. And you're telling me you have 10 days, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless if they have the stock in or not, they can just hit that in stock button and ship it to you when the fuck they
correct.
Get.
Correct. Oh, correct.
Yeah. Because they know they're getting it in X amount of days. You know what correct. I mean? So it can potentially fuck you. You know what I'm saying? If you go and pre-order through BBTS where their figures are $15 more than
well, I mean, if it's sent to like your pile of loot or whatever, that none of that'll ship till you tell them.
Release it, yeah. Until you release it and for shipment. And that's what I do. I put everything to my pile of loot, and then mm-hmm. I get that 10 days window, and then I can trace. But what Dave is saying is that if the company knew, you know, there's a lot of 2.0 figures out there, the All-Star Trooping figures that are BBTS right now. I think one of them is sold out right now on pre-order. The others are still remaining. So I'm assuming everybody else who's into Mythic Legion is gambling at the fact that Four Horsemen is going to drop an in-stock, a pre-order, basically, mm-hmm. an in-stock where they're going to put all the 2.5 figures up. And hopefully that happens before BBTS releases their pre-orders. And if it does, buy it from Four Horsemen, get the discount of $35 a figure instead of $50 a figure. And then, you know, you basically cancel your pre-orders with BBTS.
Yeah.
It's like you're hedging your bet, you know, you're hedging your bet pretty much. So,
yeah, I do the same, Dom. Like, that's the reason why I do it. Cause, you know, some of you guys are lucky, you know, as we always say, you know, Dom is living in the land of milk and honey, and you're able to find things. But sometimes no, as you mentioned earlier, I wasn't sure if it was on air about the Skylinks, how you never got that. You know what I'm saying? So me, I never find shit, and I don't have the means really to easily go and try to toy hunt like in physical stores. So the bulk of my shopping, I pretty much have to do online, unless you guys, you know, are looking out and, you know, we luck out and you guys find pieces for me. But, you know, so I have to almost rely on that. So it's the same thing. I'll get in and I put in those BBTS pre-orders just because you don't have to pay for it. And Dave, that's a good point. You have to be smart about where you're pre-ordering from. So we could mm-hmm. all our tips and tricks about what sites are good. Obviously, BBTS, yeah. You could do that. Unfortunately, they do mark things up, which is a trend I'm noticing from a couple of other sites as well. Before, I didn't really notice that much from them. You pretty much got things from them at a retail price, and now it looks like they're marking everything up $5, $10, $15 on certain items. But you do get that guarantee. You do get the benefit of not having to pay up front for that pre-order. And if you get that pre-order in, you're guaranteed to get the figure you want, regardless if you're going to pay a little bit more if you don't find it around your way or from somewhere else. So, you know, sites like Anime Export, which I know a few of us use. Them with them, unfortunately, you have to pay for your pre-order up front. So once you go with a site like that, you're locked in. You know, what do you think about the pros and cons about that? Like, some, because I know Ace doesn't mind paying ahead on pre-orders because he knows he's going to get the figure, and by the time it comes out, he doesn't have to worry about paying for it. He's
just, sometimes it's a surprise, you forget about it.
Sometimes it is a nice surprise.
I forgot about this. Yay, me, new toy that I didn't have to pay for. Well, don't have to pay for now because I already paid for.
In the Mythic Legions perspective, although, you know, when we pre-ordered all those toys, like, you know, now we're gonna get our delivery soon, right? Mm-hmm. So like we paid that like a year ago, like almost a year and a couple months ago. So it's like it's nice that we're gonna get all these toys and it's already paid for, and I don't have to worry about paying it and what, you know, how financially what movie money I have to move where to just to, you know, fork up that kind of cash that I paid out back a year and a half ago. So. It's nice.
You know what's funny though about that pre-order, when we all did it, we only picked out what we thought we liked, right?
Exactly.
And then as the year went on, and we got to actually see some of these figures, and they actually released some of the figures that we pre-ordered, we were like, oh shit, we like more than what we pre-ordered. So
I want them all.
Yeah. And I think that's what kind of scary about pre-ordering as well, is because like you never know what's gonna be hot and what's not. So I'll just throw like this example up. Mezco Catwoman, right? So I pre-ordered through Crashbox, right? And it's a great figure. But when it first came out, it had a bunch of QC issues, which they fixed. But I think that dropped the price of the figure. And what was happening is you were seeing some websites like Entertainment Earth or, you know, like websites like that were dropping $20 off the price. So it's like, hey, like, you know, was it smart for me to fucking to pre-order it and pay, you know, the full ask as opposed to waiting and then possibly, you know, saving, when it's not a guarantee, though, because like not everything is going to go on sale or be available when it's once it gets released. So,
it's so like, I'm really, 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 really upset I missed out on that deluxe.
Oh yeah, Hellboy figure. Yeah, me too.
I am so upset. And then I was all Mythic Legion starry eyed and completely forgot. And I'm like, okay, I got to do this before the end of November.
Yeah.
And then the end of November rolls around, and I'm like, oh, well, they're gonna be here, and we gotta get Legions, and you know.
Sounds like we need a community calendar.
That's a great idea.
Dave, I just want to add, you know, getting a great deal is nice, but sometimes just having that peace of mind of getting
something I agree.
You really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
I'm a Mezco collector, and every time a pre-order goes up, I buy from Chris. A lot of my stuff comes from Chris, but like Chris, you know, obviously informs me whether he's going to pick up a figure or not. So even before he does, or he gets, you know, before he puts that inquiry out, like I pre-order on BBTS, I'll put the pre-order up and put it in my my loot and just keep it there. And then like if Chris is gonna pick it up, I'll just drop the pre-order. But like the funny thing is 90% of the time those pre-orders never sell out for Mezco. But then there's that like 10% where that one figure fucking sells out and the pre-order is sold out and now everybody's looking for it. The one example is the PX Sovereign Batman, which is the blue Batman that's coming out. Mm-hmm. That sold out in seconds. That's the first PX other than the Punisher that sold out within like crazy. Like it's so people like the gray and blue Batman, and that one was announced as a PX exclusive and it sold out within like, you know, 20 minutes. So
yeah, see, but it's crazy though, because like Dave said, maybe you can try to guess, but you never really know, like if something's gonna sell out or not. So I don't know. Is the safe bet just to maybe just put in the pre-order at BBTS just because you can cancel like without penalty?
Oh yeah, I feel it's a safe bet because at the end of the day, you never know. Like I was funny. It's like. There's a couple, even Dragon, like Dave, right? Dragon Ball Z figures from SH Figure Arts. Like some of them sell out crazy, like pre-orders.
So,
like,
Yeah, like I that's another example. Like there's a recent figure. It's a Great Saiyan Man, right? It's basically Gohan. He dresses up in a superhero outfit, and that's the latest figure that came out. So with that, what's funny is that they allocated more Japanese releases of those figures than they did the American ones. And when that happens, you're paying more for the Japanese release because you're getting it earlier. You're getting it with the brown shipper, you know. People were jumping on that because they knew they weren't going to get the US release because they were only getting, you know, all the vendors were only getting so many of them. So you wound up saying, you know what, I'll just fucking pay for the one that's more because I'm guaranteed to have it, as opposed to hoping that I get the American version once it releases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that shit happens all the time with SA Figuarts, or, you know, the opposite effect happens. You get a figure that came out and it's $60, $65 retail when it comes out. And then for some reason, there's thousands of them out floating around and the price drops. And you see those at your Barnes and Nobles for fucking 35, right. 40 bucks.
Yeah. What about the ones, have you noticed the, like I used to buy a lot of the Kamen Rider figures. That's not something they really release here. It's not like a property like Dragon Ball Z that's big, like over here in the Western world. So with those pre-orders, those figures pre-orders, a lot of them tend to be like Tamashii web exclusives. So it's almost like you have to pre-order from these Japanese sites, like, or because you don't know whether they're going to be released here. And if they do, usually BBTS marks them up like a lot. Like you might pay,
but that's
like you know,
that hasn't been happening, Jose. Like I've been noticing, because a lot of those web exclusives, sometimes when the funny thing is, I got caught because like a couple of times where I pre-order something on oversight, like on Anime Export or something, and then like because the price is like, you would think the price would be cheaper, and then all of a sudden BBTS has it for the same price, and then the shipping is less.
Yeah, they've been matching the prices lately. I was told that's because they're buying more volume.
Yeah, like I seen that recently, Dave, where their prices are exactly the same as imports, and you're going to save on shipping and pay more shipping now.
And especially for the exclusive ones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like, for instance, Falcon, I think, was the last one. He's in my loot right now, my pile, and he was only $10 more on BBTS than he was at Anime Export.
And you say you save on the shipping anyway. Yeah. If you ship express. So that I didn't notice, because I'm going by like when like the original like Black Panther came out and the Black Widow, I think, from Age of Ultron. Like those things, I think if you would have went with the Japanese pre-order, you would have paid about 80 to 85, and BBTS was charging 120.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that like for the Transformers, the Plus series, like the anime colored ones, like the Wheeljack was cheaper buying it from Anime Export. And it was like $60, and after shipping it probably comes out to like, you know, maybe $70. The thing is that BBTS had it up for like $85. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just gonna buy it from Anime Export. But what was the recent Plus that just came out? It was Blue Streak, same price, mm-hmm. same exact price on Anime Export that BBTS had it for.
And I got I did, the only one time I did notice where it's like, well, I wound up paying more going with the Japanese release was when they released the Great Shot. Yeah. And that supposedly was supposed to be an exclusive. And, you know, but after shipping, I paid way more, like when BBTS had it for like $95. I was like, oh, that sucked.
The same thing happened with me in the Iron Man Mark 7, Brian. Like I bought it from Anime Export. And then I bought the Hauler armor separately, mm-hmm. but those two prices plus the shipping is going to be more than what I would have bought if I bought the US version, which came with both, which was like 120.
Mm-hmm.
So I screwed myself on that, but like, I just didn't know. Like I didn't know. You would think that, you know, people were saying, oh, that they're not going to come out in the US, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, you know, you get caught in that trap.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you collect, you always have that fear of missing out at some point. To a certain degree, but you have to, you know, really evaluate how badly you want the item. So like the Voltron, like Jose hooked me up, you know, several months ago, but I still put in order for another one because I'm not going to make that same damn mistake twice, you know, just in case, whether for myself or somebody else, just to have it. Like I know how great it is, and, you know, I'm not going to stress over, you know, BBTS charging New York state tax, right? If I was able to get it, you know, simple and easy and know that it's going to be penalty free, and have a bit of support after the point of sale. Like, I don't have a ton of experience personally with some of the overseas, you know, pre-order places, but I know that which of the, you know, US retailers have given me really good service if and when something goes wrong, you know, with an item. So I think there's a bit of peace of mind for that too, especially depending on the price of the item that you're looking at.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know Dust likes to, like, when he does pre-order an item, he does like to do it from, like, let's say Hanny or, you know, an American retailer, just because if something is wrong with the item, it's going to be a lot easier to return or get it replaced. It happened with me, like Dave, right? Like, I think I had sold you that masterpiece. I forgot what it was because Anime Export sent me the wrong figure and I sold
Artfire. Yeah.
You know? So a nice wrong piece for them to send me, but it wasn't what I ordered. It wasn't what I wanted. And I was able to flip it real quick. But imagine the nightmare it would have been if I would have tried to send that back to Anime Export, how much it would have cost and whatnot, you know? So that is a good point, you know? And I wanted to ask you guys too, like, you know, I know we all try to be smart and stuff like that, but the pros and cons, whether to paying up front or paying later, like, is if you save, like, $10, $15, or maybe even $20, are you okay with just paying up front for the pre-order rather than paying later and not being committed and where you could cancel anytime? Because once you pay, you're committed to that item.
Like, I would love somebody to give that offer. Like, if the toy is it's a $200 toy, if you pre-order and pay up front, it will give you a discount and you only pay $170. Like, you know, I would do that. I would definitely do it
in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a fun little game sometimes.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember, like, you know, maybe a year, 2 years ago, you used to find that in some of the third party groups where people were doing group buys.
Yeah.
And hey, if you jump in, I'm going to order, you know, X amount of figures. If you do this now, you get it for this money, you know, this amount, which was cool because you could save. You know what I'm saying? But the only bad part about doing things like that is, like, depending on who you're dealing with, you know, when we used to deal with Hung was great. You know what I mean? And, you know, the guy Enrique is pretty good too. That's doing it now. Mm-hmm. But depending on who you're dealing with, sometimes you could order a figure and, you know, you got it on a group buy. This guy may not be even somebody who lives in the States. It might be somebody overseas that you're dealing with. And I've had this experience happen to me where you pre-order something, you get it in and it's something's wrong with it. Now you got to ship it back, but they don't have that.
They don't have it.
They don't have any more, or they don't have that rapport with the company that they're ordering from to get you a replacement piece. And if they do, it's going to take forever, you know? So sometimes you got to be careful about that too. You know what I'm saying? You might be saving, but in the long run, you might end up with a shitty ass figure or something like that.
But, like, going back to your question, Jose, like with Hot Toys, like, I know I can buy it from Sideshow and go do a payment plan and make it easier for myself. But I'd rather buy it from BB or pre-order at BBTS and save a little bit money on shipping because Sideshow, like, charges a shitload of money for shipping.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, I'll rather just pre-order and then pay when it comes in, I'll pay it all at once, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So I have a legit question. I'm not singling you out, Dom, I've actually thought about this. I've heard this on some other shows as well. And I know it's just a different way in people how they look at their finances. But so paying for something up front that you're not getting, someone else is tying up your money in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
So even though you're saving maybe a little bit, you still don't have that money to do something else with in the meantime. And you don't have the product to show for it just yet. Now ordering Hot Toys or items from Sideshow, you know, I like, because they charge you the deposit usually, right?
Yeah.
You know, which is your kind of gauge the risk if you change your mind.
Which BBTS is doing some figures on some things. Yep.
And I think that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. I think, because there's a cost of carrying product and allotting it and things like that for any retailer. Mm-hmm. But the payment plan piece, why not just make those payments to yourself separate and then buy it outright? Because I hear a lot of people talk about, well, I had, you know, three different things and the payments all hit for these and that. And I don't really understand the difference. Just pay yourself that payment and pay for it outright.
Put it in a cookie jar for yourself.
Or just leave it alone. Leave it in your bank, and just don't touch it.
I get what you're saying, Gary, but not to single anybody out here either, but like Gary, you're a little more selective than I am, right? I can get into something new tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know what? I'm dropping fucking $300 on this thing. Fuck it. I need it. You know, I do that. And then I don't have the money to buy that pre-order that that I want. So I'm like, you know what? If they're going to charge me $53 this month and then $53 next month, I could handle that.
Yeah.
Cause it also allows you to pick what week you want the money to come out of.
Yeah.
So like, I'll give you a perfect example. The beginning of this year, always the beginning of every year, is tough for me and my wife. We got to pay fucking taxes out the fucking ass for everything. Fucking flood insurance, all this fucking crap. All this money got to come out of fucking nowhere right after Christmas. So when my pre-orders start hitting, and this year was bad, like especially with the SH Figuar shit, the Mezcos were just coming out left and right.
Mezcos.
So when that came up, same time I had three fucking sideshow fucking things come up on the same day in January. So they took out, XYZ on the same day. Imagine if I would have had to pay for all three of those figures in 1 month. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, so like, okay, the life responsibilities aside, I agree with taking care of those. So here's the question I posed to you guys then. What? So
funny. You said I agree with taking. Yeah, I would hope you agree.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that's being right. That's being a grown up, right? And look, not everybody is like that either, right? We know
people get overwhelmed and they spend a little bit more than they should.
Yeah, but is it a pragmatic allotment of finances, or is it the emotional and mental capacity that you're not spending as much money? And I say that because Sideshow Hot Toys, let's say it's $300, right? Mm-hmm. So I make six payments of $50. I know it's not exactly accurate, but just for the math. Is it the idea that it just feels like, it's six $50 items, and therefore, I'm not spending the full $300? Or is it if I save that $300 myself to buy it all at once, maybe I won't buy that item because I realize with $300 I could buy
something else.
Exactly, items B, C, or D instead, right?
Yeah, I think Gary, it definitely takes discipline to put that money aside and not touch it because it's for that particular thing. And like Dave said, like there's times where like something comes up, and you're like, oh fuck, I want to buy that, and if that $300 is available, I might just do that.
Yeah,
and I like when some of the bigger stuff that I buy from Sideshow, I take advantage of those payment plans because it's cash flow. It's just a cash flow concept where, I'm getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. And if I can pay a little bit at a time and get that, pay off that little thing a little bit at a time, when those paychecks are coming in, I don't have to put out a big amount of money at the end of the day. So,
but don't you, but it's the same amount of money, Dom. It is the same amount. That's all I'm saying.
It helps me on a cash flow basis though. It's that's all it is. It's like I know I make a certain amount of money a month, and at the end of that month, this is where my baseline is, and this is what I'm going to spend on bills and credit cards and stuff like that. I know that I spend on a monthly basis, and then eventually I know I have here's my residual income that I can have free with, and that amount is what I try to say. Okay, I'm going to pre-order this on Sideshow and this on Sideshow and this on Sideshow, which will take basically half of that residual income. And then I can use the rest to buy like whatever I want to buy.
So I have a legit question, which is just when you do the payment plans through Sideshow, is there an interest charge added to it?
No,
or is it the exact same price?
Okay. Same price.
Okay.
All right. So there's also like, if people are listening and you want to know how Sideshow does business, another thing they do is if you don't pre-order the figure, right, and just so happens that the figure comes out and it's not sold out, within a few weeks they might offer free shipping on it.
Yeah.
So that's a con to pre-ordering, because you got to pay that shipping regardless. when you pre-order it. Mm-hmm. So,
and there's all different things too. Like, you know, even if you want to talk about, let's say, statues, a lot of people don't pre-order statues. Like, you know, if they really want it, they'll pre-order it. But like sometimes with statues is that the concept statue will look totally different than the factory statue that comes out. So a lot of people wait until they see the factory statue to actually pre-order or order it, because sometimes the difference will weigh or skew them from making that purchase, you know, because it's a totally different from what they showed when the artist did the concept and everything. It's beautiful. But then when the factory comes out, it might change. And right. And those changes might, you know, sway your decision on buying it or not. So it's all different. Like, you know, it's weird because it's like definitely with Hot Toys, like you don't see a lot of from Sideshow. You don't see a lot of pre-orders sell out on Sideshow. You'll see pre-orders sell out on BBTS on Hot Toys a lot. Like if it's like, you know, the Emperor chair, the one that sold out in seconds, you know, Darth Maul, it's sold out in seconds. Like, you know, so like those figures on BBTS sells out, those pre-orders sell out, but then they're still available on Sideshow. So it's weird. Like, you know, some people just like the fact that, you know, I'll pre-order it, not spend the money or not spend it or put any money towards it now. And then I'll just put the money towards it when I get it. So it's kind of going towards your concept, Gary.
Oh, you mean like, you know, you're just saying you pre-order and pay for it in full when it comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's
kind of like to you what you're trying to say, guys.
Yeah, which I've done before with Sideshow. I mean, you pay the deposit and then it's just, you know,
because you find it funny because in BBTS, those pre-order, when they put a pre-order out that's a Hot Toy that has a deposit, you don't see those things sell out right away, right?
Right.
You'll see them still stay up and they're up and up, up, up after, you know, months on end. Until the item gets released. But like the pre-orders that they put up for Hot Toys that don't require a deposit, those pre-orders sell out crazy.
So I'll say one last thing, which I think, again, and everyone's listening knows I'm the biggest advocate for this item, but we were told how many times that Soul Shogokin Voltron would never be released, right? That Bandai didn't have the license anymore, or that it was going to this company or that company, and you know, you'll never see this one again. And I know there's a post somewhere. I don't know how true it is. I don't have it in hand that the reissue has plastic and not diecast, and then that was disputed and that was fake. And like, I don't even know. But I think we've also learned that just about everything eventually gets either reissued differently and improved or comes back around. Now you may
I
have
hope
to
so,
wait,
Gary. I hope so, Gary, because I'm waiting for those Mortal Kombat freaking reptile. Yeah,
you want the first line ninjas, right? Hot Toys Hulkbuster, fantastic example.
Yep.
Of you know, it's reissuing, and you can get an upgraded kit to, you know, affect
Mark,
how the
armature looks. The one you got, Gary's reissuing.
Yeah. Yep.
No shit.
With the Juggernaut arm too.
You can buy the You can buy the other arm separately,
or you can buy the whole Hulkbuster with the Juggernaut arm and everything.
Yeah. See, like something like Get That, Gary. Like that's $900. How much is that?
Yeah, it's gonna be. It's
like $1,100, I think. Yeah.
I could never fucking pay for that in one fucking shot. No fucking way. If I did, I'd be taken away from my savings and I wouldn't want
to. All I'm saying though, and this is more financial talk. People don't want to hear that stuff. You know, you make the payments the same way you would paying it monthly. You just pay it to yourself and put it aside.
That just don't happen in our life because we got fucking ToyCon, NJCC, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen
in a John Addicts world.
But Gary, I understand your point because, like, for this pre-order that we did for Mythic Legions, it was a year and a couple months ago. I paid all that money out.
Yeah. Right.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything for showing for it yet. And it's $2,400. It's big money. And $2,400 with interest, you know, you get that's like a couple $100.
Yeah.
That you would have made off that $2,400. So it's like, you know,
bank do you use that you get a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, I know
Dom's exaggerating. It's
like $10 at most.
But it's $10, Dave. I know. We can split hairs, but yet people will shop from a different site to save that $10 on shipping. Exactly. I'm just saying. Yeah. So
dude, that shit adds up, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need, what's that meme with the guy that's like got like the face where he's like, hey, you know, a shirt for $20. She's like, no. And then, you know, the toys, like, with what I'm talking about, Dave, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You know, like you see somebody, you know, you see a steak dinner and it's $24.99. They're like, hell no. And then the Drake fucking meme he's talking about.
That's what it is.
And you see a Transformer, he's like,
I'll take that for $2.50, right?
Right.
A lot, and even a lot of those subscription services. Like I remember when BotCon and all those subscription services, you pay up front and it'd be like a year and a half before you get the figures. And sometimes you'll spend like $900 that you for the set, and then it's all of a sudden like, you know, they had your money for $900 for a year and a half.
Well, that's another thing that, you know, you're pre-ordering. You don't know what your taste is going to be like in 6 months.
Yes, Dave.
You know, like for example, like when I get SH Star Wars figures, right? I tend to order 2, maybe 3 at times, because I know that one of you guys might need it.
I do the same thing, man.
And we all try to do that within each other with other stuff, right? But like, what if, you know, in 6 months I'm like, I don't even fucking collect that shit no more. What the fuck am I doing with this? I have to pay for it.
Can I tell my story really quick? So you're right, Dave, and I'm guilty of it. I'm a prime example. So, you know, I don't collect Dragon Ball Z. Last year, Dave tried to get me into it. Like, I got one of the DVDs. I tried to watch it. I watched a couple episodes. The first character I liked, I found out that they didn't make a toy of it, and then he died. And I was like, "Well, this stinks." And then I saw that Broly character, right, the Super Saiyan Broly guy, if I'm saying it right. But I thought he looked good. Dave's like, "Yeah, he's really expensive. You know, you won't be able to get him for less than like $300." This is before the reissues and stuff. And in one of the groups, I got excited because I thought it was that figure being redone and it looked really good. So I committed to pre-ordering it. And then here it is 7 months later, it comes in. And now I have this fucking statue because it's not an actual figure arts action figure. It's a, what is it? It's a figure arts zero statue, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And it does look good. It looks cool, but it doesn't fit my collection anywhere. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with this thing. The box is gigantic. So if I try and flip it and sell it, I'm going to end up losing, you know, a third on the shipping anyway, just because of the size of it. But you're right. It's like, it's easy sometimes to see the preview of something or a pre-order, right? And then be like, yeah, and then totally not really be into it when it comes out, you know, you get caught up in it. So
yep.
I'm guilty. As much as I talk about being financially frugal or disciplined, I mean, look, I'm guilty of making stupid choices myself. So,
but like that's why I like BBTS is pre-ordering. Mm-hmm. Like if it doesn't require a deposit, I can pre-order it, keep it in my pre-order list, and then, you know, if I do lose interest in it, I can let it go. The funny thing is sometimes I'll check every time I let go of a pre-order, I'll check to see whether it's sold out on the pre-order to see if I want to let it go.
I will too, Don. Yeah. So, I mean, BBTS is a nice safety net. And if you're not paying attention and miss those 10 days, they give you credit.
Yes.
They give and there's credit always something to buy there.
Yeah.
Brian, is that a way to beat a pre-order if you don't want it anymore? If you don't pay for it, leave it in your pile, and then after 10 days, they'll give you the credit. Yeah, that's a way to beat the pre-order, right?
Yeah, you can still cancel it. It's just to give you store credit.
They'll just give you store credit. They won't they won't return or refund you the credit card that you paid it on.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
And then Gary, you know, to your point, you know, it's always nice to have an exit strategy for some of this stuff. If you get it by accident, it's nice to have friends that you can sell this stuff to, or dude, if you have an opportunity to sell at a toy show like we do, it's nice.
You're right. It's between that or even trading sometimes, right? It works out too that way. So it's just,
yeah, we've done that plenty of times, right?
Yeah.
The rock.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that, Gary. So I remember I traded Gary my reissue of the Dinobot. What was it? The Cesium, right?
Cesium. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, don't worry, I'll get another one because, you know, it was available at the time. I waited too long. I couldn't get that shit over a year. I had to look for one.
Well, so that was one, right? Yeah. That's one of those, like, in the moment where we were just kind of doing a little – kind of, you know, figure banging, right? Kind of check stuff out. And yeah, I think, you know, you were buying Cup, right? Fantoys Cup, which was cheaper than Cesium. And then you open Cesium, like, I want this thing, like, right now. And you're like, dude, just order it from Hanny. Just get it. And I was like, no, I want yours. I want to take it home with me. I didn't buy anything at the show. And so you're like, ah, just take it. We figure it out later. And then, yeah, you kind of – other stuff came up. And before you know it, you're like, that thing's gone, dude. I can't get it anywhere. I don't have it.
Like, give it back.
Well, you should have did. You should have done was just like, okay, you take this. Pre-order that thing for me.
Yeah.
And then send it to me.
Yeah. No,
that's what you could have done.
No, Dave's got me figured out, I think, the best way, where he's just like, listen – just do you want to take it? Just borrow it for a little while. Put it on display. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and then I'm like, that's really what you need to do is just, you know.
I'm doing that with Dave right now with one of my mythics, and I don't think I'm going to get it back.
Nah, I'm just going to wind up paying you. I'm going to wind up slow paying you on it. Like, hey, Dave, what's this $5 for? That's for figure. Don't worry, you'll get the full money within a year or so.
What did Dave tell you that you let him hold the figure?
I just brought it up for him to see it, and I let him keep it because I know he would use it for some photos and stuff like that.
I was just going to say, Jose, Dave's line is, let me take some pictures with it. I just want to take some pictures. I'm going to take some pictures.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like Gary, I use both sides of that spectrum. I sometimes use Sideshow to do installments. I think it's more on an amount perspective. Like if it's like Dave, like you said, if it's more than like $500, I'm probably gonna do payment plans because I'm not gonna be able to dish out that type of money to all at once. But if it's like a $220 figure hot toy, I probably can, you know, just pre-order on BBTS when it comes out. I'll just, you know, put the money towards that when it comes out.
Nah, Dom, just throw it on the American Express, bro. What are you talking about?
Yeah, put it on a credit card. you fucking die. The debt doesn't come with you. It fucking goes away. I don't need to buy a house anytime soon.
yep.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Interesting stuff. There is a lot of variables to it, the pros and cons, you know, whether you pay up front, whether you pay later. I mean, I think the safe bet, and Dom, you brought it up, how you said, like how the Sideshow stuff will sell out on BBTS and not on the actual website. That just shows that a majority of people are using to hedge their bets and take advantage of that, you know, that no, what is it? I guess a no penalty cancellation. Are they still giving you those email warnings, like the heads up, like
this is coming in stock, you know, make sure you have enough money in whatever account you have set up with them and stuff like that.
Yeah. So the danger, I guess, like Dave, when Dave said early in the show, is that if you're either just not paying attention to those emails, or maybe what if they just stop sending those and you don't get alerted of it, and then you don't cancel your pre-order.
Dude, you're not a true nerd if you're not checking your BBTS pile of loot every day, okay?
So I shared my Figure Arts Zero key component to that listing there. So go down the panel, tell us a story, like what's a pre-order that either you paid for and showed up that you forgot about, or, you know, that you kind of got notified and you were like, you don't even remember like ordering it.
That shit did happen to me, Gary, but I've got to try to remember which figure it was for. Don't remember.
I can answer this right now.
Go ahead, go ahead, JD.
Fans Toys Hydra. I forgot I pre-ordered it.
You probably wish that you didn't really forget.
I forgot. Dude,
I have a funny story. That same figure, Hydra, and then everybody's complaining about it, and I had that pre-ordered at TF Source. Yep. And TF Source, it came in and it hit my stack, and I was like, fuck, I don't want that fucking figure. So luckily, you know, I do a lot, I buy a lot from TF Source, so they know this, and I sent an email saying apologetic email saying, you know, would you do me a solid and cancel my pre-order that's in my stack? I know it's the, you know, I know you're not supposed to do it, but, you know, can you give me this, you know, one time, you know, exception. And of course they did, and they refunded me the money, and I didn't have to buy Hydra. So Yes.
Tom, did you know I just own for like $350
Yeah. But the one figure that came into mind that I pre-ordered that I had no idea and it was a surprise was the Super 7, the Ultimates, when they did the He-Man, the Skeletor, the Fakor, which now goes for ridiculous amounts of money. But like it was like, you know, I pre-ordered it because I thought it was like a part of the Filmation line. And I didn't know. And then all of a sudden I get an email from Super 7 saying, this is coming out. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, awesome. And then I got it and I open them up. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Mm. I'm like, this is not Filmation. And I'm like, I must have pre-ordered it and I didn't know that I ever did.
You should sell those things. Don't take them out of the package. Just sell
them. Yeah, I heard they go for a pretty penny. So
yeah, just sell them.
Just flip them. So Gary, you're in that other group, the import group that I pre-order stuff from once in a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sometimes I get a little like overzealous and I fucking think I'm not going to get the figure because, you know, everybody's saying, oh, it's sold out on Anime Export. It's sold out on AmiAmi. So what I'll do is he'll put up his pre-order and I'll say, you know, I want one, you know, one please.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden somebody will be like, yeah, it's back up on fucking HLJ or whatever. And I'll fucking order it there because it's $7 cheaper than it is through him. And I could also get one for, you know, either Dom or JD or whoever I'm ordering them for. And then I'll forget that I fucking ordered it with him and didn't cancel it. And then I have another fucking figure that I have to pay for when I find out it comes in 6 months later.
And yeah. you get the Facebook tag.
I get the Facebook tag. Geeks pre up. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like, I have this already. Like, what the fuck?
And by the way, David, we have that, you know, that Star Stapler fucking pre-order with Alex.
Yeah.
But so that will sneak up on me. Like that, I wouldn't, like that, you just saying this just reminded me that we pre-ordered that.
Wait, what Star Stapler? The Flame Toys?
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. I can't wait. Can I come look at it when you get it?
Yeah, you guys are crazy. We're playing that shit. Can I play it?
Yeah, Dave, let him borrow it for real.
Bob, if you're listening, we're not buying you this one, motherfucker. No, I'm just I mean, it's all hit or miss. Like that Star Saber could be shitty compared to the Tarn, and I won't know until it drops or a review drops. And then you go, that's $400 out the window.
If the fingers stay on, you're good to go, man. You're right as rain.
I guess that's always a possibility, but just the fact that the first two releases, you know, by all indications have been super solid. Is that something like, it's almost like, can you expect that from the third release? You'd think it would just be just as solid, no?
I think they're getting better, like from what my understanding. I think the Drift was solid, but I think the Tarn was just a step above that. I don't know if I'm right, but it seems to be that way. It costs more money, so shit must be better. I don't know. That's the way I look at things sometimes, you know.
And it's going together with the other one, right? To make the Victory Leo.
Yeah, the only thing the only thing I liked about the Drift that it's not on the Tarn is the swapped out hands. I think I would like the swapped out hands on Tarn. That's the one thing I thought they did good on the Drift than the Tarn.
So. I remember I supported those Astrobots, Jose. Like that Kickstarter,
yeah,
which was cool. No, I thought they were a lot of fun. I picked up one of each, and that was like a package that when it showed up at the house, you know, I totally forgot like what it was. Like I legitimately had no idea what it was. So because I got no tracking, no info, no email, it just the box showed up one day. You know,
same thing. But that was actually cool though. But that we kind of went into it. We paid up front, no? Right?
Yeah, we did.
Paid up front. We paid up front, and then we kind of did forget about it because it was a surprise just when it did show up randomly one day. Like, oh damn!
Let me cut you off. I'm sorry. I think it's the price though too. Like I just know there's a certain threshold that I'll be more sensitive to, you know, pricing on stuff. I think you get desensitized. So when you're spending, you know, anywhere between $50 and $100, maybe you're like, oh, okay. It's not as alarming to track it, but you start getting into, you know, a few $100 or $400 Flame Toys again, or Hot Toys stuff.
Yeah.
You're definitely, I think, more in tune as to where that item is, you know, in your,
Yeah,
it's still you, we hopefully would think that.
Hopefully, hopefully.
Listen, we get desensitized all of a sudden. I mean, look, we've talked many times of this separate topic of, you know, escalations and collections and looking at different items and evolving and whatever you think that looks like. You know, it happens. You know.
Yeah. See, but we got a lot of avenues also to like unload like any kind of potential like unwanted, you know, or forgotten like purchases. Like, you know, like Dave, you said you made a lot of sales on eBay like somewhat recently, you know, on items you didn't even think about like posting.
So,
like,
the group. So proud of him.
Yeah,
so
do, proud of him. Do you think that that also that kind of alleviates some of that pressure of like, damn, like shit, I got this, I didn't want it. You know, but you know, you could kind of just turn around and sell it and not maybe not even for a loss.
Well, it's funny you say that, Jose, because like the stuff that I sold was stuff that I brought to NJCC last time and like literally last day with like slashing prices on. So I had stuff that was like $50 that I sold for over 100 on eBay, you know, and I'm not price gouging. It's just that that's what's going for. You know, I checked the sold rates. And I went in $10 under everybody else, $20 under everybody else to get rid of it. And very well, I bought one. Yeah. And I made it. You know, I made a few hundred bucks in a few days of shit that I that was already in a box of that was unwanted. You know, but it also gave me like a little bit of a high. You know, and I was like, "What the fuck else could I sell?" And I started looking around the room, and I'm like, "Do I need you? I don't need you. You're going in a box." You know.
Yeah.
Then see, we can't see Gary's face right now, but he's smiling.
You know? Yeah, I'm grinning. Like I got.
You guys remember those I know JD's gonna be like, "Why'd you do that?" But you know those Entertainment Earth packages, the Order 66. Ones that came out.
Sold those?
No, I still have a set for myself.
Okay.
But I bought two sets.
And you sold the other two sets?
I sold one of the sets.
Yeah.
Because they're going for a crazy amount of money right now. And I didn't price gouge it. So somebody in the group looking for it. And I said, hey, look, if you want it, this is my price. Dude was like, oh my God, for real? You're joking?
I'm
like,
no. Selling them out about them.
JD, I sold it for $120. They're going for over $150 to $200.
Yeah, I know.
And we got them. And we got them for 30.
Yeah, 40. 40 bucks.
40 was it?
$39.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck it. I'll make my money on it.
Hey, you about to get me going back to eBay, Dave.
No.
You'd be surprised. Like it's always a good practice to go through your collection and see what things are going for on eBay. Because you'd be surprised on how much shit, like some stuff that you have and how much it has gone up in price because of just demand and you'd be surprised. And then that would also trigger on whether you're like, do I really need this? You know, can I sell it for more what I bought it for and actually put it into something more that I'm interested
in? See, I used to kind of do that, but then with like the third party stuff and like Masterpiece Transformers, like it just made me angry that I spent all this money and it's not worth shit.
Yes, yeah, so you get the other side of the spectrum. Yes, JD, you're right.
It just made me angry.
Like, you do get angry, but you're supposed to ignore that.
I can't even get it back.
You're supposed to ignore that. You swipe left and just go to the next one.
Yeah. What's Fantoys Phoenix going for right now on eBay?
I don't know.
Probably 300 or more, I would assume. I have no idea, but why you want to sell it?
See, he sold out, right? The Springer's currently like sold out. Like some of these pieces, man. Like those little ones, I guess, you know, you gotta jump.
You'd be surprised, and like Chug stuff too. Like a lot of Chug stuff, that old like Combiner Wars stuff, like the like your Superior Combiner, like the Superior Combiner Wars, dude. That goes for a lot of money. Those old, like as much as we make fun of them, those Combiner Wars Superion and like especially Superion for some reason, but that he the whole set, including
he was wave one.
That whole set goes for a lot of money.
Fantoys Phoenix.
Yeah,
there's four American listings.
How much?
$479, $449.
Not even going to tell you guys what I paid for that thing.
$799.
What was his retail? $200, $220,
$215. He was $215.
Let's see what sold is.
Oh my God, that's crazy!
But that's like it's always a good practice because
it's right around 400 bucks.
helps you, you know, make Gary will be proud of you because then you look at your collection and see what you need to get rid of because it's not, you're not interested in it anymore. And then you can take that, that money and put it into something else. Oh my
God. You guys are like talking my language. No,
Gary's got a hard on right now.
Dude, it's so true though. It's like, if you're not enjoying it or your interests have changed, I don't think it does any good to just, you know, keep holding on to stuff as, and this is long before the lady on Netflix and, you know, we talked about it. So, but if you're just, you're not enjoying something more than, you know, turn it into something else that will make you happier for the moment. And it's okay to know that your tastes change sometimes. It's just like food. You know, sometimes people like stuff as a kid you don't like as an adult or vice versa. It's like
pizza, you know, Gary, pizza. Yeah.
it evolves, you know.
Yeah, all valid points, you know, all valid points, you know.
But the selling is addictive, especially when you're, like you said, Dom, you're either making a little money or you're just breaking even. And that's okay sometimes if you've enjoyed an item and had it and you break out of it. And then it's like, okay, now you can really, you know, combine these three or four things and get something like really good, you know.
Oh, and believe me, like there's been times where, like, you know, on a cash flow basis, I sell things to break even just so I can get more cash in my pocket to buy other things, or, just so, because, you know, I might not have the cash available because it's stuck in pre-orders or payment plans for some say. So just to sell something to break even on it, just to get some cash on hand to buy something that I'm more interested in. I'll definitely do
What's the phrase that we like to use?
Tie it up to survive.
Say again?
Sell to survive.
Yeah, sell to survive. Yep. It all fits in. And we've all caught that fever. I mean, look what we're doing at the NJCCs now with the Rock Island. Like, that all came from Bricks just hitting us up last minute. Like, hey, got a few extra tables. Somebody dropped out. If you got anything, bring it to sell it. And I think we all caught the high when we were there that day just selling shit. Like, Dom knows what it's about. Like, you know, he was doing that.
Yeah, when we're like, Brian can share his some viewpoints on this. When we started, you know, when we encouraged and, you know, we got that first time and we got at the table, it's just the conversations you have with people and the, you know, just the whole thing that you talk more to people. You're a little bit more open because you've got a product that you're trying to sell and pitch. You find out what they're interested in, and basically that conversation's happening, and it makes your enjoyment of a show a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Dom, you made friends with some guy last time and you potentially were going to buy some stuff off him last show?
Yep. It was when I was getting into Hot Toys. He had he had the Luke, the DX9 Luke. So
DX9
or whatever. I forgot what, like the DX line, DX7 or whatever the hell number it is.
And Dom, also just to elaborate, man, it was really nice to see people. Like, there are people going after. Like, I had the iGear mini bots, right? Remember, we thought they were MP back in the day. Man, I posed them all up on a shelf, and I was like, you know, buy the all four for whatever. And this guy's like, I'll take those right now. And it brings you joy. It's like, oh, stuff that I don't care for anymore is going to make someone happy, you know? Yep. Kind of great.
Is there anything, Brian, that you sold that maybe you were like, damn, I wish I didn't sell that. Like, I wish I had that now, that after you sell it, it's gone?
No, I haven't made those hard choices yet. I think those are some choices that are coming up here in a month.
Well, that's good, because like I'm sitting here trying to think of maybe there was something that I potentially wanted to keep and I don't miss it. If I don't miss it, that means I didn't care about it.
Yeah, I'm starting to regret now that
Holy shit, what panel am I on?
I'm starting to regret now that I sold that extra Phoenix.
Would have been good to sell it now.
Yeah. You know?
Sometimes it's worth the weight in the investment.
Yeah, when it comes from a selling perspective, I just enjoy those moments when like somebody comes to your table and they see the figure that they're whether it's a grail or something that they've been looking for a long time, and they see it on your table and they pick it up, and that face that they make, you know, that like, oh my God, this is what I want, and like, you know, and at the end of the day, you can offer that type of enjoyment to them, and it's really nice. That's what I loved about selling, and you know, obviously the money coming in and you know, and my pocket's getting fatter. But at the end of the day, you know,
it is about, Smalls, you
know, the people, the connection.
Yeah, he's getting the enjoyment out of all of it. But I was like, I was about to say, you don't get that on eBay, but the cash coming in is
eBay is very like not personal. Like granted, you're messaging back and forth with questions and stuff sometimes with your if you're you know really. Into what that guy has and stuff like that, because it's always a good thing to, you know, I when it comes to eBay and when I buy off of eBay, I've used tactics like bundling to try to get deals. Always look at what they're selling, other things they're selling that you might be interested in, so you can bundle or like you know add three or four things into that order to get a little, and then ask them if they can work a deal out. That's the kind of tactic I use a lot, and that requires messaging back and forth, which, you know, takes time but in patience. But like at the end of the day, it's like it's worth it if you could work up a deal that you're looking for, and you get to that deal and you could get a good price for the figures that you're buying.
Yeah.
But like it's very impersonal. But like you know, I when selling on eBay, it's like you know communications, you know, and buying on eBay, communication is important. Make sure you reach out if there's any concerns you have. Ask the questions. Just don't buy blindly or sell blindly, and then all of a sudden you get problems at the end. And it just makes the buying experience horrible.
Yeah, for sure. And especially if you want to stay on top of like the feedback that you have, like you always want to keep that 100% if you have it. Like add it, you know. And so I always try to ship fast and make sure those lines of communication are open when you are doing that. Dave, you've inspired me. I'm probably gonna list some items and see if they sell.
Make sure like you know if you're looking to break even or if you're willing to take a loss, you know eBay charges 10% on seller's fees, and then you get another 3-4% loss on fees in regards to PayPal. So if you ever like to look like do what Dave does, like Dave said, like you know take a look at what things sold for. Price it if you want to sell it fast. Price it down like $10 or $15 below everybody's asking, because everybody, if you're a buyer, you go to what you're looking for, put it in the search, and go to that filter and go lowest price first, and you go down the trail. And boom, if you're the lowest and you're right next to $5, even if you're a dollar, like I find out, like if I'm a dollar cheaper than the lowest guy, they'll pick me and you know I'll make the sale.
Yeah,
of course. Why not?
Dan, don't do that free shipping shit.
I do free shipping, but I calculate it into it. So like,
oh, okay, all right. Well,
so like when I do different. My price, I calculate it and then deem it if it's worth me doing it. So like, what I do is I go up and I say, okay, what's the lowest? What's going for the lowest? And it's like, okay, $60. So if I put it up for $59, can I ship this for $5 and take the 17%, the 14% off, and still make a little bit of money or break even, then I'll do it. But if I don't, then I won't. I'll just do the waiting game and just wait until the demand goes back up.
Yeah, I don't like to do the free shipping because they can't take the percentage off the shipping.
No, they do now.
Get the fuck out of here.
They do now, Dave.
Who does?
That's eBay.
They take PayPal. A percentage from the shipping?
Yep.
The fuck out of here. I didn't speak to you more.
People were playing that game where they put like a dollar for their figure and
$40 shipping.
Yeah, $40 for shipping, and they stopped playing that game and they charge now. The 10% comes off the shipping, the listed price and the shipping price.
Correct.
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. They caught on. I used to see that a lot, especially from the items overseas.
Oh yeah. Yo, Dave, you'll get your eBay invoice soon.
I did. I got my first one. It was like $17, which I was like, all right, that's fine.
Mine was $230.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Well, and usually when I would, you know, I usually offer free shipping when I'm selling in the groups, you know what I'm saying? So I would do the same on eBay if it's not going to be too much of a loss. And Dom, like you said, just try to bake it into, you know.
Bake it in.
You know, so.
Because people, it's funny because eBay is like that. Like people don't look at the listed price. They look at the listed price and the shipping price.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, this costs $65. Oh, well, shipping is $5 and the item's listed $60. You know, so they're like saying, oh, I'm getting a deal because this guy's going free shipping $60, you know, free shipping $65, and you have it for $60 listed price and $5 shipping. It's the same to them. It's nothing's different. Like, you know, they're not going to buy your $60 item because it's less than the $50, the $65 that they have like with free shipping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
Snoke's, it sucks, but that's the way it is.
Snoke Spinal Tap in the chat said that also if you have it as free shipping, you might show up in another search criteria.
Yeah,
I think that's something that you could filter like for free shipping. So yeah, that might be a boon like that. So, all right, good stuff. Well, we could wrap on that. We'll open this hangout out to the rest of the realm. We'll throw the link out in the Realm of Collectors Facebook group. Anybody that's watching or listening could join us here and continue the conversation. Before we head out, let's just run it down the line and get some where you at. Brian Brink, I'll start with you, brother.
Brian Brink in the Facebook groups, at BrinkLizer on Instagram. And looking forward to seeing fellow Realmers this weekend. Be good at the Lowry wedding. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Big Dom.
You can find me in the Facebook group as Dominic Rosso. And here Tuesday night, with you fellas. And hopefully back at Dave's house to get my fucking figure back.
And home.
He'll be visiting soon. He'll be visiting soon, Dave.
Dave, make some cookies before he shows up.
Oh, fuck that shit.
All right, Dave.
Yo, you'll find me on Instagram, Energon Addict, here on Tuesdays, and checking all my pre-orders just to make sure I have enough money.
You're not a true nerd if you got to check your pre-orders. Check your pre-orders.
Check them out. All right, G Money.
Yeah, with you guys here, first part of the week, and on Facebook under Gary Allen.
All right, JD.
JD Brochus on the Facebook group, Pigment Surgery on Instagram and Xbox Live. Every Tuesday here with you fellas, you beautiful fellas. And every other Wednesday. You're welcome. You big, tall, hairy, hunk of man.
Hey, Harry, look at you, man. You're growing.
Dude, I can guarantee, like, if you don't shave in the morning,
you have a 5 o'clock like, shadow at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you have like, you know, it's like 80 grit sandpaper on the side.
Yeah,
of
right now. Yeah, I can definitely do some carving right now. You got some diodes that I can shave down?
Sure. no fake banging this week. Next week, be all new.
All new. Sweet. All right.
And this weekend at the Lowry wedding. I'm excited to see a bunch of you guys.
Oh, you're coming down too?
Yeah, we'll be there.
Sweet.
Yay.
JD, do I owe you any toys?
There'll be another rock swap.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I think I owe Dave money and Jose still has my Ermac.
Yes, which I have to list. Maybe on eBay.
Ninety and up.
Gotta account for those fees, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and as for myself, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network, all at Harrick MBX, and check out Verbally Challenged with Harrick MBX on all audio platforms. For anybody that's watching, listening, subscribe to the channel and hit that thumbs up button, please. I saw a very small amount of thumbs up compared to the people that were watching. So before you sign off, hit that thumbs up button, guys. We really, really appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. You could catch an audio version of this podcast. It's available on all podcast pushing platforms, iTunes, Podcast Addict, whatever you use. You can find us. Just search Breaking the Mold and subscribe to the audio version of this podcast. Remember to check out Crashbox Customs on social media for all your Mezco and diorama needs. Mention the word Realm when placing an order. You'll get a surprise gift with your purchase. Check out the website, realmofcollectors.com. Check out the Facebook group, Realm of Collectors, and we're also on Instagram at Realm of Collectors. This show is a proud part of the Cool Table, so please pull up a chair. It's a network hub for like-minded podcasts, including Enter the Realm, Plastic Fanatics, Shattercast, Uncut, Toy Detox, Nerd Rage Radio, Beer and Bolters, 30K, I believe it is now, Stasis Lock, 8 weeks building up to it, and Fresh Communication. Go find the Cool Table on Facebook and subscribe to all of those other awesome podcasts. All right, guys. RLC Hangout continues next. That does it for us this week. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Peace.
Later.
Turtles.
All right, Dave, give Don back his figure, all right?